Radio Real. Real radio, your reality.
Welcome to Off the Shelf,
the Second Life radio show and podcast about books and the people who love them.
I'm Kegia Girardi.
And this is Simeon Beresford.
Join us as we survey the literary scene in our virtual world. Today on Off the Shelf, our guest is Crab Mariner, or as he's known in real life, Lawrence Simon. Like many of the people I admire most in Second Life, he has really embraced the virtual world and jumped fully into exploring it. Welcome to the show, Crab.
Hi, thank you for letting me on here. Yeah, you'll never let me on again after this, I think.
Well, that's kind of your reputation, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hijack the show. Let's do it, baby.
Well, you're one of the few people I don't even do a script for because I figure we're never going to touch on any of the questions I'd have listed up anyway.
Yeah, I've got a note card here, no touching. But I don't think that has anything to do with that.
Yeah, this is Second Life. We can get help for you on that.
Woohoo! Okay. What, send me to Zendra and people will help me touch? No. click, 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 click. Desperate.
All right, well, let's talk about Second Life. Mm-hmm. You've been here just a little bit longer than I have, a couple months. How did you discover Second Life?
Discovered actually way back in 2004. A coworker was doing some combat stuff, tanks and that kind of thing. He was going around as a priest with a big gun, and anytime anyone would say, "What's a priest doing with a big gun?" he'd say, "I'm off duty." And he wanted to show off his stuff, and so I kept telling him, "You know, I don't have time for that." And sure enough, I went in there, and you know, looked around and there were some cool things, 3D and ooh, wow, neat. And you can walk around and yeah, I was paying off a huge credit card debt and medical bills. And it's like, I don't feel like buying anything. And it was really, I mean, my system wasn't all that fast. So it didn't work too well. So it's like, eh, screw this. And gave it up. And, you know, everybody starts off and then gives it up. And then the second time around, Christiane Ellis and was doing a writing thing, Pickle Tales for Podcast Pickle. I don't know if you know about that site.
No, that's a new one to me.
Well, it's not exactly new anymore. It's had its heyday. It was a cool podcast directory. It was before iTunes really got into the podcasting thing. And there were some great forums there, and I got to know a lot of folks there, and there was promotion and this and that. And they had this storytelling contest called Pickle Tales. They posted up topics, and you'd be challenged on it. And went up against Will Ross of Smart Bomb Radio and Kimi Brown and all sorts of people. And Phil Rossi, who's in Second Life as P.R. Lovencraft, he eventually won. But it was Will and Phil and I were towards the end. It was brutal. And so all of us got into Second Life when we heard that Pickle Island had something here. And we were riffing on each other, but we were giving each other tips on the side because it was a competition. But we were like, man, we're going to be the last three guys standing. Let's do it, man. Let's bond together and rush this. And, you know, I just stuck and mm-hmm. It just built up from there.
You know? So you started Second Life as a writer.
I guess so. Writer, podcaster, it's been one and the same for me. Anything that I've written in the 2000s, I've recorded at some point. And yeah, I've always written, but this kind of thing, you know, is a little bit of each, you know, and I liked it. It was pretty cool getting to know the folks and, you know, you hear the stuff on the podcast and all that, and it builds up, you know, and it was great hearing the community and that kind of thing. And I liked it and got to know some folks, made some friends that, you know, despite all my being a pain in the ass, you know, we've stuck together and it's worked out.
Mm-hmm. Are they a lot of the people that you knew originally from the Pickle Island?
A lot of them, yes. A lot of them, yeah. And some of them even picked up podcasting over that. But I got to know Daphne Abernathy and Dedrick and Exus and Will Ross, William Petrie and Kimi. And I even brought some folks in here from my own podcast, Rocky and Smitty Gal and others. And just it, you know, you bring some people in, and I'm really sorry for getting y'all addicted to this thing. We'll talk about that later. But it was pretty cool. And, you know, it's a place where you could, a sense of being, a sense of place, a sense of presence. And yet, you know, you're pathetically sitting at your laptop, but you know what? You're still with these people. It's a win-loser kind of proposition, I guess. And we've all fallen for it. So I think it's pretty cool.
Well, one of the things that has stood out for me is how creative you've chosen to be in Second Life. You've definitely created a unique persona.
Well, I guess so. It you know, you may look at it that way, but I look at it as me. I mean, I'm just me. I don't step back and go, wow, I'm amazing. I mean, it's like that takes huge ego. I mean, I have a massive enough ego actually running this craziness. I don't have time to actually promote it or pimp it or appreciate it. But I suffer for it, I'll tell you that. Every now and then the email box floods with, what the hell did you just say? Oh, my God. And it's like, oops. Oh, well, screw you.
So what do you think your most creative aspect of Second Life has been for you then? Or what has pushed you most creatively?
Within Second Life? Well, I'll say inspirationally, the music, the live music has been huge. I mean, you're listening to Grace McDonough, you're listening to Jewel, Cylindrian, Kyle Beltran, Keklik Martin, all these folks, and you listen to them and you get ideas. And you're seeing in this little screen here all this stuff going on. But then you get ideas and you start to envision them and put prims together and, you know, Filthy Fluno paints, but you throw prims together and stuff happens while things happen, and then you build up, you know, a stage show to it. I did that with Matthew Perot. I did that for Ray, the blues preacher. And you just have fun with it. And seeing Grace McDonough do that and trying to raise the bar. You know, she did Muse Immersion, and I'm like, this is how it should be. And you start playing with it. And I'd say the music is the inspiration. When my sister does her hillbilly stuff, it's like, okay, throwing together the chickens and the hay and the wagon wheels. And that's where I get the ideas from. Now, what the most creative stuff is, I don't know. It's whatever folks like. I mean, I would say the stuff that challenges me constantly are the Linden screwing up and then having Second Life make fun of them on Twitter. That's the constant challenge. I think that one, if I didn't find it fun, I would have given that up 2 years ago, but I've kept doing it. You know,
So Second Lie is obviously you. You just,
no. I just admitted it. Uh-huh. So here comes the permaban.
So, why Second Lie? Why did you feel the need to not be Crap Mariner and still make issue, you know, bring, well, show a light, I guess, on some
Second Lie started 2 years ago. It was between me and William Ross, Will Petrie, Smart Bomb Radio from the Pickle Tales thing. And we looked at this whole Linden policy of, okay, we're going to let you use our trademarks and copyrights for a few years. All right, now that we've grown enough and we've got momentum, now you can't use it anymore. Rebrand all your stuff or we'll sue you or ban you. And pardon my French, that's a dick move. And so we got a little tired of it. And there was this blogger boycott, and we wanted to one-up it. So we did this on Twitter, which is outside their greasy finger reach legally. And it was fair use and satire. And we just had fun with it. And it was a group Twitter account. And there were, at most, there were 35 of us posting to that. And there were 5 ex-Lindens, too. And every time that Second Life or SL Grid Status or any of the Lindens would post something that was totally bonehead or totally, everything's wonderful and great, watermelons and fish eyes. It's like, shut up, Torley. How about documenting something like how to recover from a crash, how to get your inventory when you lose it? And I just, so we tried to make fun of it, and we set some rules, which is no swearing, no direct attacks, try to keep it funny, and have fun, and make sure that it can be retweeted so that, it can get viral. And it picked up, and we had some fun with it, and I had everyone take a bow after a few months. And we've changed rosters a few times. I clear out, and then I'll change the password, and then whoever says, hey, what did the password change to? Now I know who still does it. And it's the idea was, there was a little bit of level of protection for, it could have been anyone who posted that, really. And even by my saying this, I could be lying. This all could be one big lie, and it's really someone else. This really could be Sidewinder Linden. He was shit-canned a while back. He could be pissed off and doing this. It could now be Pathfinder. It could now be Prospero. It could now be Z, which I'll tell you this. Z Linden over at Blue Mars, when he posts through that, he gets a kick out of it. He laughs at this stuff. A lot of folks are laughing at this stuff. But, no company is perfect, and people make mistakes, and we're all human. And you should be able to laugh with it. If you can't laugh and learn from your mistakes, you know what? Go to the top of your headquarters and jump off the edge. Give a job opening, really. If you can't laugh at yourself, give up. Drown yourself in the toilet.
Well, I think that's one of the things you do really well. You're able to go ahead and say, these are problems, but this is still good stuff.
I try to have a good laugh at it, and I really don't like it when it's mean. But if they do something that's mean-spirited or it's utter and complete marketing bullshit, we're doing this dumb thing because it's good. And it's like, no. And that's when the gloves come off. But they don't stay off for long. I would rather it be funny. I'd want the Lindens to be able to laugh along with this. I don't want them looking and saying, oh, my God, what now? And a lot of them do. I've gotten a lot of feedback on the sly from saying, this is the first thing I check every day. And it's like, it lets us know, these numbers on the wall that from the stupid surveys, is your Second Life getting better or worse? This doesn't tell us jack. It's when we see these and we get a laugh from it. And now I'll get occasional DMs or IMs or emails or instant messages, and I'll be like, hey, get ready for this one. It's like, okay. The more time I have, the funnier I can be. But, you got to roll with the punches. You got to react. Mm-hmm. You got to be funny. And I'm sure that someone will play this back in front of what's left of the abuse team, the G team, and say, do we shit can them now? And it's, if that's their attitude, then I don't see much of a future for this platform because, you got to be able to take your criticism. And if it's fair criticism and if it's constructive, which I hope some of it is, then you got to take that. And it's within fair use. It's parody, it's satire. And if they don't know how to deal with parody and satire, then once again, that's a huge part of the human experience. And, rip off your fake skin, reveal yourself to be the lizardoid you are, and go back to your home world. A little bit from
so
V there.
So Second Life is, in some ways, your genre.
I guess it is. I guess for Second Life it is. You know, I've created a new face over there, and others use it for theirs. And it's just an outlet. It's a way of venting fun, well, frustration in a fun way. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. V for victory. Absolutely.
So to get back to the other things you're working on in Second Life or that are part of it, I noticed that I'm seeing you more and more in the literary venues, reading your work.
Yeah, I've gotten kind of sick of you can only hear a musician so many times live before you're like, okay, I've heard this. Okay, I've heard that. Okay. I've got a brand new tune. It's the same thing, but it's in D. And it's like, okay, come on. So I've gotten kind of tired of that. And I want to take a break from it before it really is like, oh God, no. And just poke my eardrums out with a knitting needle. So you switch, you rotate, you change frequencies. And I'm doing more of the literary thing, reading for West of Ireland like once a month when they have me, or it's like, oh God, all right, we've cleaned up the mess. We've handled the ARs. All right, time for him again. I'll do it for here or there or wherever. And I've got folks that are asking me, hey, can you do it over here? And hey, you know, Jewel wants me to do one of them in her place. It's like, okay. And I keep forgetting, but I got to do it more often. It's fun. And, you know, the stories I think people enjoy, but I think they like the mad neurotic ramblings in between where I just let loose and blither.
I dance on the edge of a sword. Let me dance on the edge of a sword. Let me stand in fog by the weight of my words. Let me walk in the sun. Let me choose where I run as I dance on the edge of a sword. Let me dance on the edge of a sword. Let me stand in fog by the weight of my words. Let me walk in the sun. Let me choose where I run as I dance on the edge of a sword.
Hi there, this is Lawrence Simon. Are you in the mood for short, amusing tales that you can threaten to read to your children at bedtime if they misbehave? Well, if you are, come by podcasting.isfulofcrap.com for a new 100-word story every day until the day I die. Which hopefully isn't anytime soon. Closing.
So, that was Torch Boomhauer with
Zorch.
I'm sorry.
Zorch Boomhauer.
Zorch Boomhauer with Dance on the Edge of a Sword. And it was followed with a promo for 100 Word Stories, which is Crap's daily podcast, correct?
Daily.
Okay. And let's talk about that.
Yeah, we do a weekly as well where I put out a topic and folks come up with the stories, and it's really cool. And it's neat to see who shows up each week. And there have been a few SLers that have thrown stuff in there too. Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool seeing, you know, Kicklick Martin, Kimi, Daphne did it for a while, Fricker Fricker, Rich DeSoto, and Justin Lowmaster, Chivalry Bean, every week. You know, like clockwork. Ooh, mm-hmm. Clockwork. So it's just cool seeing these folks come, you know, they write for a while and then they stop and then they come back and, you know, fit a little bit of time. Take some time to write a real short story, but it's really neat seeing that. And I should probably pimp that more. So I'll get insufferable about that eventually.
So you've been doing 100 word stories for how long?
Oh, God. Almost 5 years. Almost wow. 5 years.
As a podcast the entire time?
Almost all the time. I started at 100 words or less Nessman, where you had to write a 100-word story every weekday based on a topic that one of and if you had to write something about Les Nessman from WKRP. And that was fun. And after a month, I was like, I'm going to record these. And I did.
You've been doing the writing for about 5 years?
5 years. We had this site called 100 Words or Less Nessman. Michelle Catalano and a few others, early bloggers, 2002. And they wanted to do some writing. So we got a group of us together. We rotated through the topics. You had to write a 100-word story on a weekday, and we'd schedule out who do the topics. And I'd get pissed off if the topic wasn't posted until noon. You know, you had to have a topic ready for the next day. And mm-hmm. So that eventually drove me off after a year, but I was getting into the habit of it, a story every day and doing it quick and posting it up. And then I'd start recording them. And they sounded like garbage because I didn't care. I had a crappy microphone and crappy editing software and a crappy computer, and I just did it, and I posted it. And over the years, you know, all these people like Leo Laporte and Adam Curry have all this amazing studio software, and yet their content sucks. You know, the only ones that really have good content and good equipment that I found, HowStuffWorks.com, I've really gotten into them. And there are others that have been doing it forever. History, according to Bob Packett, Professor Bob, good stuff. And there are so many, Pedictionary, Charles Hanson, A New Word Every Day. There's so many cool things out there for free. You know, you can get these. And if you're, you know, like me, you're fat and you need to get off your ass, fill up your damn, you know, you got a 160 gig iPod and you only got like 2 gigs on it, you know, and you don't have much music, sync up some podcasts, go to sleep, let them download overnight. Your cable or your DSL will crash constantly, you know, like right now. But you got Copper Robot. You know, you can get Snark Tank Radio, Great Heights, Horror Addicts by Ems Maisie. There are all sorts of stuff out there. And you get them, and if SL isn't working and all that crap, or the streaming isn't working, you're constantly crashing, fine, grab your iPod, get the hell out the door, and go walking. That's what I've been doing, and I'm losing a pound or two every week, and hopefully I don't stroke out like I did in 2002.
That's one thing I noticed about your blog is that you do talk about your first life or your second life, and you don't necessarily draw clear boundaries between them.
No, I don't. I have no fear. I'm in Texas. It's a one-party state, so I can wiretap whoever I want if I'm part of the conversation. Two, we have the castle law. If I get a stalker and they come down here, you're dead. You know, you'll either get the .22 or the Remington. Want to mess with me? I'm a good shot. You know, that's how it works. You know, that's where the boundaries are drawn. You know, my First Amendment rights are protected by my second. Now, I'm not going to go around killing people randomly. I mean, I reserve that just for the special cases. No, just kidding. By the way, you haven't seen MB Duro around recently, have you? No. But, no, it's just, yeah, there are some folks that have a lot to hide and protect, and they don't want to share. That's perfectly fine. Share as much as you want. The First Amendment means you have the right to free speech, but it also means you have the right to shut up. You have the right to not say anything. Does it mean you have the right to privacy? I'm not sure. Maybe you do have civil rights and personal rights. You don't have to say everything. You don't have to say, woo-hoo-hoo, I've got a rash on my balls. You know, you don't have to have that broadcasted to all of Twitter across the world. There is such thing as a line. And you want to cross it? Fine. But if you want every one of your stupid thoughts out there, okay. Me, I do it. I'm a clown, I'm a moron, and I do it so that other folks don't have to. Yeah, maybe it's kept me from getting a good job or two. Maybe it's kept me from getting a writing contract or two. I still ghostwrite on the side, and I get a few contracts. It takes care of a few things. Yeah, when the credit card is paid off now, and I've got one more to go, and if I win the lottery, then screw all that. Goodbye, everyone. No. No, it just if there's no, there are some people with stuff to hide, and they're sensitive about stuff, and they're worried about it. That's okay. Fine. You don't have to share. No one's going to push you. Nobody's going to force you. And this whole fear of the Facebookification of SL, where, oh my God, now you're going to have to reveal everything. Well, the Lindens have boneheadedly revealed some people's stuff here and there. You know, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, by participating in this conference, all your names are out there. And it's like, whoops. Mm-hmm. But me, I'm not afraid of it. I'm enough of a jackass and a clown dancing on the edge of – well, dancing on the edge of a sword, really, which is what the song is about. You have a choice. And every man dies, but not every man lives. William Wallace. You have the choice. And whether you want to or not, or be open, maybe you can inspire somebody to get off their butt and do something. With Tunes and SL, I convinced people to buy SL music instead of that, pardon Gabby, I'm going to go blue, that shit from Madonna and that garbage from REM and all that stuff. These acts have been around 40 years. I mean, my God, shut up, Paul McCartney. Give it up, Rolling Stones. You know, you're garbage now. Nobody stands the test of time like that. Put down the damn instrument and teach your next generation. At least Bob Dylan has kept it up, and his son Jacob Dylan is good. Okay, fine, Bob, you passed the test. But not everybody can do that. So it's like, shut the hell up and just, you know, ZZ Top. Oh boy, another best of album. You know, let's see what Warner Brothers dumps on them this year. Madonna wanting a 9-digit contract for 10 years. What the hell is she going to come up with? No crap. Lady Gaga is there. Buy Madonna. Shut up. Raise your kids.
So you've been very active, as you mentioned, in the music side of Second Life. You've obviously been putting your oars in for quite a while on the writing side. And now you're performing as well. Well, you're always performing, but you're performing in a play now.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't know. Skylar told Leilu, hey, you got to, you know, you lost somebody in the cast here. Go grab this crazy ass. And it's been a blast. I mean, with the technical shit breaking, I mean, that drives me nuts. You see, I said, no, you can say whatever the hell you want. I just won't listen. Mute. Yeah, thank you, Warren. It's cool. And getting to know some of these folks, it's neat. And, you know, Layla's got this script and you just play around with it. And so towards the end, it's like, how can we take this character and play with them a little more? And in the last act, messing with Caden and early on, you know, oh, God, and throwing stuff in between and going off script and adding life to it. And it's fun. This is freaking fun. And
so that's the
word, fun. Come on, say it with me. Fun.
Well, tell people who are not familiar with the play what the title is, first of all.
Oxymoronic Fusion.
And what the general storyline is of the performance, and then what you're doing in there.
Okay, so this chick goes into a bar. No. This young actress goes to a mystic and winds up having a weird spirit take over her. And so this other weird spirit takes over now and then, has been and gets her own show, does advice columns. But she's losing herself and she's losing control of her life and she wants it back. So she's going to the shrink. She's trying to, you know, just sue the other personality and drive them off. But it's a part of a greater scheme, a metaphysical, supernatural clusterfuck going on. That's, you know, it's all coming together, and all these people are trying to get all their issues solved, and it's way deeper than that. And I'm just a little part of it. I'm just a talking dummy and a talking letter of the alphabet. I'm not too sure how that works. I guess they couldn't shut me up, so I had to talk.
So you mentioned that you really are appreciating the community in the play. And we also talked before the show started about the community you're building or you've built on your Sims. So
I wouldn't say that I built the community. The community came together. It's just folks coming together and naturally, you know, hey, there were some people that were coming together from the 100 Word Podcast. Some people followed the cat stuff that I did and the people that, you know, we're already there with podcasting. And it's like, hey, let's, you know, put our heads together. Let's start a new country up. Oh, God, back when REM was relevant. And we were tired of renting. And so it's like, hey, here's an idea. Put all our money together, get the startup fee for an island. We'll pay the monthly. And we'll connect up with other islands, and we'll see how it goes. And the goal is I won't do anything SIM-wide without total approval. The old Polish parliament of the 1700s. So over time, it's been slow going, but over 3 years, you know, we've got a bridge connecting to here, a bridge connecting to there, roads here, roads there, you know, folks connecting up their plants, and we've got a tour boat going around. And I feel like it's working. And it's not, you know, it's never going to be a Lost Trails. It's never going to be a botanical, but it's everybody's vision together. And maybe it's not, you know, 100% optimal and awesomeness, but it's good. It's a good feeling. You never go back and say, oh, God, now I got to go back and looking at this. Now I got to look back. Now I got to deal with this person. No, if you feel like that and you're looking on the map and you're seeing somebody at home and you see them with a green dot instead of a yellow, you have to ask yourself, why? What happened? why did I choose not to work it out and instead get this going? And you strive to work it out, or either you go or they go. And it started with the foundation of friends. And yeah, that changes over time as you get to know people. Maybe it gets stronger and maybe it gets weaker. And you get comfortable with it. And over time, and people change too. And you have to accommodate that. But I think over time, we've been very stable compared to a lot of other areas where it says, okay, I'm renting here. I'm on mainland. Oh, crap. 300-meter penis next door. Great. This land's gone to shit. You know, and we've done our best to avoid that. And, you know, when an opening comes, when somebody drops out of SL or they want to move on to somewhere else or they want their own stuff, they're feeling a little individualistic or they want to be a part of a direct community, say moving off to the writers, moving off to wherever, want to move off to Caledon or whatever, fine, that's cool. You know, if it's within that theme and you want to do that, awesome. Yes, great. Or you're doing commercial stuff and business stuff, awesome, great, cool. I hope it works. What can we do to help? And then, you know, we're very selective about who comes in. You know, people say, hey, you know, I want to be on the list, and we discuss it out. And then I slander a few of them, and somebody comes in.
So do you think there's much difference in community building in Second Life than in online communities or even more First Life examples like building a club?
Oh, in First Life, I don't even know the names of our neighbors here. I mean, I know them as the asshole with the dogs across the street. Hell, somebody with their Wi-Fi ID says, hey, you on the first floor, shut your dogs up. My God, I mean, you compare that to this, where it's like, okay, mute. Your dog don't matter now. But, you know, with this, you log on, you're online. And, well, unless you have a crappy cable connection. But in real life, you pick the spot and maybe you can build it up, but you've got to build the houses. You got to get the permits. You got to pay the taxes. Oh, God, this person's feeling sick. You got to be near a hospital. This person needs school stuff. Oh, God, all those requirements and real life stuff. What a pain in the ass. But with this, you don't have to worry about getting to the club and the liquor license and driving there. And, oh, God, everybody's drunk now. Who's going to drive them back? Oh, we need some cabs. The cabs don't come out here because it's a bad part of town. And it just steamrolls. With this, it's so quick to drag and drop and connect and promote. And boom, you're there. If it wasn't for the fact that there were 25 group limits, I think Second Life would have taken off even bigger. I mean, that's one of the things holding things back. People connecting up with each other, and what do? Boom, slam the door on making even more connections. It just, wow. I mean, you know, you take a permissions engine, you turn it into a communications engine. That's one of the big flaws at the lab, and they need to fix that. And Avatars United, if they hook that into this system and expand the group possibilities, expand the connections, let people use it effectively. Like, you know, they've integrated X Street quite a bit. Maybe it'll take a year and all that, but, you know, if they bitch about not growing fast enough, you know, they talk about $500 million in transactions and we're making 25 people making bank. And it's like, okay, right. But, you know, how am I doing? You know, I look at it as an entertainment expense in the end. But also, you know, what I spend here, I'm not spending in real life, and it's a savings. You know, I'm one of the few people in here not trying to make a buck. I'm trying to make a difference. Oh, God, make a difference. Oh, no. How un-American. You're supposed to make a buck. What's wrong with you?
What would you like to be doing in SL in the next year or so?
Logging off more. What would I like to be doing in SL?
Why logging off more?
You know, you leave it on and you're sitting there and you realize, shit, it's 10:30. I need to go to sleep. And I've been doing that a lot. I've been staying on a lot less and going for the walks, losing the weight, exercising. That's my priority now. It was getting the credit cards under control. Now it's the exercise and still saving up so we can buy a house. And just, you know, when you're on and you're just, okay, I'm building this, I'm doing that, but, you know, come on, you know, get do it. I love reading books, and we've got bookshelves and bookshelves and bookshelves here in this tiny place. And I'm looking, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in this room and 5 in the other room and 5 in the bedroom and all these books. And, you know, I should log off and read a little more and enjoy. I love reading. My wife loves reading. And we're both, you know, total book hounds. And yet the last book I read was Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. And it's like, I love that.
Well, crap. It has been, as always, an interesting interview, but I think we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, thank God.
I have one more question for you.
You've suffered just, enough. You've suffered enough.
It's never. I always enjoy chatting with you. But well, you mentioned just reading Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
What are you reading at the moment?
I'm about to start this Making Rounds with Oscar book. But Eshio Odawara's late husband had a book that I finally bought, and I keep wanting to read. And it's the ninja, the Path Notes of a Ninja Master. And it's I've peeked in it and here and there, and lessons on life and taking control. And, you know, I've also got to reread Winning Friends and Influencing People by Dale Carnegie. I do that every year. And then I do the exact opposite. I believe it's pissing off people and driving the leeches away. The problem with the people pleaser is that once you get a parasite on them, you lose. Dale Carnegie didn't realize that there are parasites out there. That's the failure in the model. And I'm probably – my reading list is based a lot on what Mitch Wagner, whoever he interviews. I mean, P.W. Stein and Rusikoff, who did this Life, Inc., does some great books. Whoever he has on, and yeah, last week he joked about it when he said, you know, that I didn't want to become the Oprah and I didn't want to, you know, do this all on authors, but those are the most interesting. And he gets on some really interesting people.
And, he really does.
Yeah. And that's, you know, go back through his archives and see who he's hosted. And, you know, those are the ones that I'll also be reading. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just got to say to everyone here, take a chance, play around, go to a sandbox, build something, do something, even if it's ugly, and just have a blast.
Okay. And where can people find your stuff online, crap?
Oh, I don't post stuff online. No. for Second Life stuff, you can go to secondlife.isfullofcrap.com, but the real URL is firstlifeisfullofcrap.com. My real life blog, which is pretty politically incendiary and crazy right wing, is just isfullofcrap.com. But if you're looking for the Twitter, you're looking for the Flickr, you're looking for the YouTube, just type in the social network dot and then what is fullofcrap.com. So give it a try and, just have a look at it and get disgusted and block it.
Well, thank you again, Crap, for being on with us, and that's it for Off the Shelf.
Off the Shelf is produced for Radio Real by Kegia Gherardi and Simeon Beresford. Technical production is by Radio Real. You can find Radio Real on the web at radioreal.org. Music on this program includes works by artists on the Magnatune label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. The off-the-shelf theme music is 1500 Tons by Burning Babylon from the album Stereo Mashup. And we bid you goodbye with this piece, Hagagasan 14 by Eternal Jazz Project, from their album, Gratis Jazz. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com. Off the Shelf is licensed under Creative Commons.